Well, I think I've got charity fatigue, and indeed I feel bad about admitting it. In my inbox over the last week, I've had 12 emails about supporting charity events or days, and each one of them is undeniably a wonderful cause, but I can't give money to everyone, and I can't turn up to every event. Everyone loves to be involved in a good cause, but I do feel overwhelmed by all the good things I should be doing at the moment. Have you noticed this as well? So how do charities and foundations keep their fundraising efforts interesting and moving forward? Hannah Schwartz is from givenow.com.au, which is an online giving hub. It's a free website that gives groups a chance to list their causes and allows people to donate to them online. It sounds like a great idea because in Australia, apparently there are 600,000 not-for-profit groups. Hello, Hannah. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Very well. How did this idea come about to have an online hub for giving?
Well, givenow.com.au is actually an initiative of our community. That's a resource and training centre for all not-for-profit groups across Australia. Givenow.com.au came up as a way for our community to give something back to the community sector, which we've worked with for about 10 years now.
Do you think that people are experiencing charity fatigue?
Look, I think that people feeling charity fatigue is totally understandable, particularly at this time of year with, you know, end of tax year coming up. Also, at the end of the year around Christmas time, you just feel sometimes constantly bombarded by people asking you to give to their causes, which, as you said, are always great causes and do make you feel guilty when you can't give. But, you know, there are ways that people can think about giving differently that can help sort of assuage some of that guilt, I think.
So what sort of different methods would you suggest?
Well, we actually have on our website a help sheet of how to create your own giving plan. A giving plan is, it can be a document or it can just be something that you jot down on a piece of paper, but it is something that helps you sort out to yourself what's important to you and where your money's going to go. So you decide, you know, whether you'd like, what causes are most important to you, whether they're homelessness, you know, medical research, animal welfare, whether you'd like to give to a local group or an international group, if you prefer sort of a small grassroots community group or a large international. And then you decide how much money you actually have to give for those causes and to donate accordingly. That means that, you know, next time the phone rings and someone's asking for money, or you're at a school fete and they're selling raffle tickets, or there's a tin rattler when you stop at an intersection, you feel less guilty in saying, no, sorry, I can't give today, because you know that you've made a real contribution to those causes which really matter to you.
Yes, and that's the really tricky thing. Particularly, I think, it's not so difficult on the phone because I think you don't actually see the person, but if someone's asking you for money on the street, then it's much harder to turn your back and walk away. How do you deal with those guilt feelings, even though you know that you might have given money to someone only 10 minutes earlier?
Look, I think it's important to be open about these things and to say, you know, there's only so much money I have to give this year and I'm focusing on animal welfare. And people understand, you know, people are sort of competing for your dollar, but they appreciate your honesty and they appreciate that you are making an effort to give something to the community, even if it's not to their cause today.
So the recurring days that we have that turn up every year, are those sorts of days losing momentum? There seems to be something nearly every day of the week these days.
There is, isn't there? And I think we've seen recently some of these sort of days or months which have been extremely popular, like in the last couple of years, FebFast, which is, you know, no alcohol for the month of February and you get supported, or Movember, which means all the men grow moustaches.
Yes.
And you support
that
them.
Is entertaining for the women, however.
It is entertaining. And those sorts of sort of event fundraisers have been really popular because they're a little bit quirky, they're a little bit outside of the box, and they sort of ignite people's imagination a bit. That being said, I think that sort of those two organisations are probably reaching their peak in popularity and will have to keep reinventing themselves and keep finding ways of, you know, inspiring people to get involved.
When we talk about charity, is there an actual sort of specific definition that you can say it's got this, this and this, so therefore we call it a charity?
Look, it's actually a really difficult term, charity. We tend to use the term community group at GiveNow because there are about 600,000, as you said, not-for-profit groups in Australia, and any of those 600,000 groups are eligible to be listed on givenow.com.au for free online donations. But there's a different way of categorising it, which is from the tax office, who define a charity as a group who has deductible gift recipient status, which is when, you know, at the bottom of your donation
yes.
form, when it says all donations over $2 are tax deductible.
So how many of those would there be?
So there's only about 20,000 of those groups.
It's still a lot, isn't it?
It is a lot. But we feel that it's actually too few to be considered charities officially because they're really strange and quite old-fashioned categories by which the tax office decides who has that status and who doesn't. And it means, unfortunately, that some groups miss out on great donations where they otherwise might get them.
What sort of groups would they be?
Well, until recently, it's been very strange. And, for example, the RSPCA, which we all know has had DGR status, but the Lost Dogs Home, until very recently, didn't. And they seemed to have very similar purposes and very similar missions, but as a result of slightly different mission statements and things, they didn't. One had DGR and the other didn't.
Seems quite arbitrary, really, then. And
it does. It's really quite old-fashioned and it can be quite a shame for some groups.
So do we know how much people, on average, give to charities in a given year?
Look, I can speak for givenow.com.au. We've raised almost $14 million in the 8 years that we've been running. That includes this year. There's always sort of a spike around tax time and Christmas time. This year we've had the biggest May we've ever had, with close to $500,000 coming through this May.
That's amazing, given the economic circumstances that we're in at the moment. Why do you think that's happening?
Look, I think people are giving more, but they're also giving in a smarter way now. So whereas they might have previously dropped $2 in a tin somewhere or bought a raffle ticket, people are actually more and more learning how to make a clever donation.
And so does your website take a percentage of the donation, or is it simply a conduit to the organisations themselves?
Yes, no, givenow.com.au is a completely free service. There are the credit card fees taken out by the credit card companies, but otherwise we don't take a commission or a sign-up fee or anything like that. It's because it's an initiative of the Our Community Foundation, that's our way of giving back to the community sector.
Well, it's certainly an interesting way to look at giving, and also another way to look at it perhaps in a less emotional way, so that you can make the best use of your charity dollar. So thank you very much for talking to us this afternoon. That's Hannah Schwartz from givenow.com.au.
Thanks, Jenny.